Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. There is a lot in the readings today that speak to us about making things new. And what does the word new mean? I've often mentioned this, but I think it's very, very important, both for new listeners, but also for all of us, that new is not a new model or a new color, or a new car, or whatever the case may be. It's not new in that sense. It's new as in never having been seen before. So that when Jesus says, I make all things new, he makes new what has never been seen before. It's new as in never having been seen before. So listen to the readings here today, especially to the gospel readings, the gospel reading here from Mark. Let's take a look at this in light of what is God saying to us about the word new. What does he really mean, and how does it apply to us? So the first reading is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 15, verses 16 to 23. Samuel said to Saul, "Stop. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And Saul replied, "Speak." And Samuel then said, "Though little in your own esteem, are you not leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king of Israel and sent you on a mission. Go and put the sinful Amalekites under a ban of destruction. Fight against them until you have exterminated them. Why then have you disobeyed the Lord? You have pounced on the spoil, thus displeasing the Lord." And Saul answered Samuel, "I did indeed obey the Lord and fulfill the mission on which the Lord sent me. I've brought back Agag, and I have destroyed Amalek under the ban. But from the spoil, the men took sheep and oxen, the best of what had been banned, to sacrifice to the Lord their God in Gilgal." But Samuel said, "Does the Lord so delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the command of the Lord? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Submission is better than the fat of rams. For a sin like divination is rebellion, and presumption is the crime of idolatry. Because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he too has rejected you as ruler." This is a very, very important passage for us, brothers and sisters, because they weren't supposed to take any of the spoil. They weren't supposed to touch it. And he says, well, Saul says, "Well, I did obey the Lord, and I brought the spoil back, and the men took sheep and oxen, the best of what had been banned, to sacrifice to the Lord their God in Gilgal. So we did something good with it. We took it, but we did something good with it. But God had told them not to touch the spoil. They were disobedient." And you see here, you see how very, very clearly Saul tries to justify himself. And so we do that too. We do that too. But Samuel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Submission is better than the fat of rams. In other words, bringing all these things to worship God with, offering all these things, the best of what you have. He says, obedience is better than that. For a sin like divination is rebellion, and presumption is the crime of idolatry. If you presume to know the answer and to know what to do, it's putting yourself in the place of God. It's saying, "God, that's a good idea, but I think I have a better one." And we can say, "Oh, I would never do that." But in fact, we do. Many times we do. We try to bargain with God. We say, "Well, I can't do that, but I could do this. How about this?" Our call is to be obedient to God and to trust that he has our good at heart. even when we think we have a better plan. And brothers and sisters, those of you who know me know that I have fallen in this area a lot. So I'm not preaching as someone who is above reproach. I'm telling you this because I know the consequences. When we take things into our own hands, we try to do something good, but we don't exactly want to do what we think God wants us to do. We want to modify it or change it, or we'll do a part of it, and surely God will bless that. We bargain with God rather than saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Whatever you want, Lord, I will do." Why? Because God knows how limited we are. God knows we can't see the whole picture. And so in our limited vision, we think X might be the way to go, but God knows that Y is the way to go and that will save us. Are we willing to trust him? Are we willing to put our faith in him? It's important to discern it. Yes, it's important to talk about it with wise people and very important to do. So you get a whole perspective, not just your own selfish interests trying to be satisfied, even though you might be covering them in language of, oh, I want to do what God wants me to do. But in fact, I want to do what I want to do with God's blessing. That's very different. We're so proud that we think we know better sometimes than God. So learning to trust God is something we pray for. It's something we seek. Lord, may I trust you. May I put all my trust in you. Teach me, Lord, that I may follow in your ways. That's the kind of prayer that needs to come from our heart. And when it does, then God can use us. Psalm 50 tells us, to the upright, I will show the saving power of God. To the upright, those who seek to follow me and who repent when they fail, I will show the saving power of God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. For your burnt offerings are before me always. I take from your house no bullock, no goats out of your fold. Why do you recite my statutes and profess my covenant with your mouth, though you hate discipline and cast my words behind you? You say all the right words, but what are you doing? Are you following me or not? When you do these things, shall I be deaf to it? Do you think that I am like yourself? I will correct you by drawing them up before your eyes. I'm going to show you what you're doing. And then the Lord says, he that offers praise as a sacrifice glorifies me. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I acknowledge that you're my King and my God, my Father, my Creator, my Savior. You are everything, Lord. I acknowledge all that and I bow before you. That's got to be your spirit. You don't have to grovel. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about genuine acknowledgement of who's in charge. Genuine acknowledgement of the place that I need to play, which is to be his disciple, to be his son or daughter, to do what he asked me to do, so that not only I, but all those I love can be with him forever in heaven. The Alleluia before the gospel says, the word of God is living and effective, able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. If you really read the word and ask God to show you how to live the word, he'll show you what your real motives are. It's not exactly the most enjoyable moment of your life, but when you see it clearly, many things fall into place and you become strong at a whole other level. It comes out of humility to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I will do what you ask. It won't make you less. It doesn't make you immature. You're not a child. You are a son or a daughter, and God knows what will lead you safely home to him. The gospel for today, Mark chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were accustomed to fast. People came to Jesus and objected, why do the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus answered them, can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? In other words, this is a time for drawing closest, not a time for fasting. It's a time to learn from me while I am with them. Jesus answered them, can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. And he, of course, is the bridegroom. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth on an old cloak. If he does, its fullness pulls away the new from the old, and the tear gets worse. Don't try to take what you're learning now and just put it on top of the way you've always lived. You can't just sew the new thing onto the old. It will pull away, and you'll be destroyed effectively. Ask the Lord, let the graces and the gifts of the sacraments come alive in my life, and I choose to follow you. Teach me. I will seek to do your will. Teach me. Lead me. Show me. Then read. Read from the catechism. Read from the scripture. Read. Inform your mind and allow it to inform your heart. And God's word, which is living and active, God's word will change you. Again, we have many, many books and pamphlets, CDs to offer you on our website, renewalministries.net. Go there. You can simply go to bookstore and find many resources that can be helpful to you. What's happening is that you're being more converted. Deeper conversion is going on in your life. And that's a great blessing. That's a great blessing. It's not always the easiest stage to be in, but it's a great blessing. Open your heart to receive it. The gospel goes on to say, no one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth on an old cloak. If he does, its fullness pulls away the new from the old, and the tear gets worse. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the skins are ruined. Rather, new wine is poured into fresh wineskins. How does that happen? Sacrament of confession, receiving the Eucharist as often as you can, coming before the Lord in adoration, adoring him. All those things, remember what I've often said to you, that John Paul called adoration the blessed sacrament, radiation therapy. You want what is old in you, that's what is sinful, to be burned out, and you want what is new to flourish. Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, frequent reception of the Eucharist, regularly going to the Sacrament of Reconciliation are all the essentials. But there are also some very good books, good CDs that can help you to grasp and understand more deeply who you are in Christ, who you are in Christ, and what God really wants to do in you and through you. He wants the fullness of his new creation to be evident in you, to flourish, and to bear fruit. It doesn't depend on degrees. It depends on your willingness to surrender your life to God and to be willing to do what his word teaches us we should do. He has much help for you. Brothers and sisters, let's be saints. Let's not stop short of that. God can do that. We can't, but God can. May God lead you and bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.